This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 9. Here Paul is speaking of the glorious grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. Who could possibly estimate the riches of God? The whole universe belongs to him. Everything that is in it. And if that were not enough, he is able by his word to speak into existence a billion more universes, even more vast than this one in which we live. No way could we possibly contemplate the riches of God. In Psalm 50, the Lord said, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you, because the world is mine and the fullness thereof." Also in that 50th Psalm, it declares, "The cattle on a thousand hills are his, for he has created them." God has over 100 million angels as his servants. We don't know how many to be exact, but in the book of Revelation, we read of 100 million angels plus millions of millions singing their praise unto the worthiness of Jesus Christ to receive the glory and the honor and the kingdom. Talk about a wealthy man having a lot of servants. 100 million angels plus millions waiting upon him, anxious to serve him. You remember when Jesus was arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter decided to defend the Lord against arrest. He pulled out his sword, he began to swing away, and Jesus said, "Peter, put away your sword. Don't you realize at this very moment, if I desired, I could call 10 legions of angels to deliver me?" Now, I don't know how many angels there are in a legion, but I do know that in the Old Testament, one angel in one night wiped out the whole Assyrian army. So that leaves you to imagine what 10 legions of angels could have done for the Lord at that very moment. I would imagine that at that moment, God had to restrain them. I imagine that they were desiring to break in on the scene and to really destroy men who were doing such a disgraceful thing to the Son of God. The riches of God are all shared with his Son. Jesus said, "The Father hath placed all things in my hands." Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Jesus, in his prayer, said, "Father, I want you to glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world ever was." You see, before the world ever existed, Jesus was there with the Father. He was with the Father in the creation of the world, as God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." And we are told in Colossians 1 that Jesus himself was the one who created all things. and that they were created for him and by him. John also tells us the same thing in his first chapter. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. But then John gives a little bit of pathos as he moves down in that first chapter. He said, and he came into the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. Oh, how rich is our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, for your sake, he became poor. And it is hard for us to conceive just how poor he became. When he was born, there were no white sheets. There were no doctors in attendance, nurses to take care of him, not even a midwife. Luke tells us concerning Mary that she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I dare say that none of you here today were born in such poor circumstances as Jesus. For the most part, I would imagine you were born in hospitals. And you had all of the attention and care that could be given to you within the hospital. Not so Jesus Christ. He became poor. So poor that the poorest man on earth can identify with him in his birth. Born in a stable. He was born to poor parents. Under the law, Leviticus 12, when a woman had a child, after 2 weeks she was to bring an offering unto the priest, a cleansing offering. Actually, she was to go through the cleansing ritual and then bring the offering to the priest to offer to the Lord for her. According to the law, she was to bring a lamb as a burnt offering unto the Lord. However, there was a qualification in that law, and if they are poor and cannot bring a lamb, then they are to bring two turtle doves. It is significant and it is interesting that Luke tells us that when Mary came to make this offering before the Lord after the cleansing, that she brought two turtle doves unto the priest, which signifies the poverty of the parents of Jesus, born to poor parents. Jesus wandered as a vagabond upon the earth, not owning a home, not owning any land, though it all and technically belonged to him. One day a young man came and said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, have you really considered the cost? You see, the foxes, they have their holes. Even the birds of the air have their nests, but I don't have any place to lay my head. So poor. No bed. Sleeping out in the open. So poor that when the tax collector was demanding some taxes, he had to send Peter to catch a fish to take the coin out of its mouth so that they could pay their taxes. so poor that when he wanted to use a coin to illustrate a point, he had to borrow a coin from someone in the crowd. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. So poor that at his death he had no tomb, and he had to be buried in another man's tomb. It is said that when Joseph of Arimathea came to Pilate begging the body of Jesus that he might bury him, Pilate said, "You're an old man. Why would you want to give up your tomb? It takes years to carve out a tomb. And there isn't enough years left for you to carve out another one. Why would you want to give up your tomb?" And he said, "Oh, he only needs it for the weekend." We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Don't overlook that, your sakes. Paul, in marveling at the love and the grace of God, said, "You know, for a righteous man some might die, yet peradventure for a good man there might be those that would dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, for you. It was for you he left that exalted place in glory. It is for you he came to this world and lived in poverty, despised and rejected of men. For you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, who were wasting your lives as you were walking after the world and the paths of the world, as you were living just to fulfill the desires of your flesh and of your mind, and you were by nature the children of wrath. It was for you, hopelessly lost, for you who were worthless, Jesus left the throne of glory, laid aside the riches and the glory, the worship and adulation of the angels, and he came to the world to be reviled by man, rejected, despised, crucified, that you, through his poverty, might be rich." There are many people today who are rich, and they use their riches to enslave men. But he was willing to set aside his riches that he might set men free. The rich of this world are often cold and indifferent because they somehow suspicion everybody that they are after their money, and so they become withdrawn. They will often seek to increase their riches even at the expense of the poor. Not so our Lord. Though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor. He was willing to set aside his vast riches that he might make you rich, and he now desires to share with you the wealth of God's eternal kingdom. Now are we the sons of God? And if sons, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The glorious riches of God's eternal kingdom have become yours, because though he was rich, for your sake he became poor. The riches that he shares with us are the true riches. Riches that cannot be measured with gold or silver. Man has placed a certain value upon gold, and for years the world was on the gold standard. Then we went to the silver standard, taking and placing an intrinsic value in the precious metals, determining a value for them, and then measuring the value of the currency according to these metals. That no longer is done. Your money is really sort of worthless now as far as that goes. You see, it used to be there were gold notes. The gold note declared that the United States government owes you so much in gold. Then they changed to silver notes. And the silver note actually declared, and it on a silver certificate, and, you know, redeemed by the United States government for so much silver. Now you have Federal Reserve notes, not backed by gold or by silver. You see, the gold note said they owed you gold. The silver note said they owed you silver. The Federal Reserve notes say they owe you nothing. The riches that he has brought to us are riches that cannot be measured, though, by gold or silver. For gold and silver, being material, are temporal. And as being temporal, they have only then a temporal limited value. Let us suppose that by some stroke of fate, you this morning would suddenly become the wealthiest person in the world. How long do you suppose you would enjoy it? How many more years are you going to live? Another 80 years? Another 90 years? You suppose you'll go to 110? If you do, I'll bet you don't enjoy the last 10. What would it profit a man if he gained the riches of the whole world but lost his own soul? For you see, if you had the riches of the world and you were able to enjoy them for, say, only 80 years, how short is 80 years when placed beside eternity? Now, the Lord doesn't give you those riches that can only be enjoyed for 80 years. The riches that he gives, the riches that he has brought to us, are riches that shall be enjoyed forever. The eternal riches of God's eternal kingdom. As Peter said, "Thanks be unto God who has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away, which is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith." Oh, thank God for the eternal riches that are ours through Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, that you through his poverty might be truly rich. Moses was wise enough to look at the long term. And so we read in Hebrews 11 that when he came of age, he did not take the title of the Pharaoh's daughter, but chose rather to identify with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, he recognized that his time was limited on this earth. And rather than being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and becoming the heir apparent to the throne of Egypt and all of the glory and the riches of Egypt, he chose rather to suffer the reproach of Christ rather than the riches of Egypt, because he was wise enough to look to the end of the reward. He was wise enough to consider the eternal. And rather than reigning upon the throne of Egypt and having all of the power of the throne of Egypt at his disposal for a few years, he compared the best that the world had to offer in his day, the riches of Egypt. He compared that with the worst that the Lord had to offer him, the reproach of Christ. And he figured, the worst thing that God has to offer me is better than the best thing that the world has to offer me. Because you look on out to the end, to the eternity. And it is the wise man who will consider the eternal rather than just the temporal. There are rumors going around within the Christian body here in Orange County that I am the richest man in Orange County. When I first heard that these rumors were going around, I did what you did, I laughed. But then as I thought about it, I said, well, I think that rumor is probably true. As I come to think of it, I do believe that I am indeed the richest man in Orange County. For I have Jesus as my Lord, who has agreed to share with me everything that he has. I have God as my Father, who is a doting, loving Father. He dotes on me, and he supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. I have hundreds of beautiful little children saying, "Hi, Chuck," and coming up and hugging me. I have you, God's people, and the love and the fellowship and the oneness that we share together in the Lord as we walk this path together. And then I have a fabulous wife, beautiful, sensitive, faithful. I have four beautiful children who all love the Lord and serve the Lord. And now I have 10 of the grandest, they're great grandchildren, but they're not great grandchildren, but they're really great and they're grandchildren. And I've got two on the way. So rich. So rich. I'll tell you, I feel like I'm the richest man when those little kids come up and throw their arms around me and say, "Grandpa, would you buy me a hamburger?" Ooh, I'm rich. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great riches. The riches that I have in Christ today, I'll tell you, you couldn't place a value on them, because if someone should come along and say, Chuck, in exchange for what you have, I'll give you the entire United States, title deed, sign off. I say, no way, man, you can't pawn that junk off on me. I'm not going to trade the riches that I have for your glass beads, for your baubles, for the riches that I have today are the riches that have been brought to me through the love of Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be rich with those eternal riches of God, the riches that are yours today, if you'll just but accept. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning that we are so rich, that you have blessed us, O Lord, with thy riches, with the true riches, the riches of your kingdom, the kind of riches that cannot be despoiled by moth or rust. They cannot be corrupted. They do not decay. Riches that fade not away, reserved in heaven for us who are your children, who are your heirs, who are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for these beautiful riches that we experience each day as we walk in love with you in Jesus. Amen. So God bless you. May his hand be upon your life, and may you just begin to experience more and more the riches of God's grace, mercy, and love towards you through Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that he might share with you the eternal riches of God's love through him.